And welcome to the second hour of Tiger Rag Radio. Jeff Palermo, news and sports director of Louisiana Radio Network, along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn, and Andre Champagne, our producer tonight. Final show of the 2025 season, and we have one more hour to go. And we have a great guest here to lead off hour number two. That is Nick Bromberg, senior writer for Yahoo Sports. Nick, happy new year. Thanks a lot for joining us on Tiger Rag Radio. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, great. Happy New Year to all. Thanks. It feels like the season flew by this year, even though we still got, you know, three rounds of the college football playoff to go.
Well, the real season for LSU begins on Friday, and that's why we got you on, Nick, because give us your thoughts on how this is going to look on Friday, because this is my feeling, and maybe you could tell me if I'm wrong here, but when the portal window opens, and I don't know if it's at 12:01 a.m. on Friday, or I don't know if there's an exact time on Friday, January 2nd, but I have a feeling this is going to look a lot like NFL free agency and NBA free agency, where a lot of guys right off the bat get into the portal and immediately commit somewhere. Is that what you're anticipating, Nick? Because I feel like there's been a lot of agent discussion with football programs, and a lot of these decisions have already been made.
You know, that was the comp I was going to use myself. It does feel like we're going to be in that, what is it called in the NFL, the legal tampering period? Obviously, in college sports at this point, we don't even know what's legal and even it is and isn't legal coming to tampering. But you're right, with especially with all the quarterbacks. I mean, it felt like going back to basically the end of the regular season, as soon as season was over, quarterback after quarterback expected to enter the portal, expected to enter the portal. You know, a guy like Trinidad Chambliss, for example, it depends on if his season ends on Thursday night, and also with the waiver going forward, he's going to probably have to be in limbo a little bit. But, you know, for guys like Dylan Raiola, Rocco Beck, you know, you can go down the list of quarterbacks, I think we're going to know pretty early over the weekend where they're headed and going to play in 2026.
Hey, Nick, this is Todd. Can you, for me, sort of continue that characterization? You were kind of going down that path. You know, this is the fifth full year of the transfer portal as we know it, but there have been some changes in it this year that are going to impact that timeline and that frenzy. But, and I realize this is kind of complicated, but can you go back to 2021, say when Brian Kelly was just hired at LSU, and the different changes that have occurred in the transfer portal over those 5 years?
Yeah, you know, the big thing right now, you know, let's just say Lane Kiffin to Brian Kelly. The biggest contrast here is that Lane Kiffin is not going to have a spring to evaluate his roster and then say, I need to reload at this position, this position, this position, and then go get guys who have said, maybe I'm not going to find the playing time I want at their schools after spring practice. You know, now we've got, Lane Kiffin's got 2 weeks, coaches around the country have 2 weeks to say, this is what I'm going to do for my roster in 2026, and I can't make any changes. Which is why players have been so proactive in December and saying, I'm going to transfer because I need to get signed right away. And so that, to me, is the most fascinating part, is it's how quickly are coaches going to work, especially with the signing period still to come for those few players who didn't sign out of high school. And the early signing period is, you've really got to remake your roster here in this 2 weeks, because you're not going to have that second opportunity that coaches and players had for the previous 4 years after spring practice. So to me, you know, we're going to look at this frenzy over the next 48, 72 hours, but then how many players are potentially going to say, okay, look, my coach, my team, they went out and signed two or three guys at my position. I'm going to jump into the portal late in the transfer window, because you still can sign after the portal window closes as long as you're in the portal. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be an absolutely fascinating dynamic now that, you know, for lack of a better term, the transfer calendar has been streamlined, but we don't know how this is all going to work, because we've been living in a world where players have had two opportunities to transfer.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. I feel like I'm flip-flopping around here, and I apologize for that. But, you know, like you pointed out, in the past, there was very little tampering, so to speak. If there was tampering, it was on the down low. Right now, it seems to be, like you said, just out there in the world, and everybody's talking about it, you know. But they technically they're not supposed to be talking to their or their agents aren't supposed to be talking to other teams until January 2nd when it opens.
Exactly. You know, we're living in a world, and you know, it's more right now of an issue in basketball. Obviously, the big hot button issue right now is James Nagy signs with Baylor after he was drafted 3 years ago, I believe, in the NBA draft, had been playing overseas, and now he's going to be a midseason signee for Baylor. I know that's not an apples-to-apples comparison for football because you really can't take what's happening in basketball and other sports and put it into football, just given the way that football operates. But I do think it's a symbol, especially with what the NCAA said Monday night, basically saying, you know, we need Congress to act here. And it really does feel like that the NCAA is, I don't know if paralyzed is the right term, but they really need Congress. They really want Congress to do anything. And now, you know, we can argue in circles for days about whether federal intervention in college sports is a good idea or not. And I think there's a lot of ways we can go about it, how it could be done. And is it actually going to be a priority for Congress in 2026? I'm not totally sure. We've had, I don't know how many bills we've talked about over the last 2 years that simply have not come to fruition or have not made it past committee. So until we actually have something solid in Congress, the NCAA isn't going to get close to that antitrust legislation that it wants. And until that happens, I don't necessarily see an NCAA willing to step up and actually enforce the rules that are on the books or even make new rules regarding the transfer portal. And so it feels like they let the horse out of the barn when the portal started in 2021. And things I think have kind of, I don't want to say have gotten worse, but they have blossomed from there. And I think that mushrooming is going to continue for as long as it takes until Congress acts, because the NCAA does not seem like it wants to do it on its own.
As a consequence of that, Nick, do you believe like LSU right now, you know, the portal for these guys doesn't open until January 2nd. They can't declare, but they've all, there's six offensive linemen for LSU who, you know, it was a horrible offensive line this year, and they had no running game, very little pass protection. They scored horribly in terms of their grades. But yet they're all declaring that they're going to enter the portal. Could a lot of that just be, hey, you know, I just want to see what I'm worth?
Exactly. You want to see what you're worth. And you also, too, you know, you look at the SEC scholarship the adjustments going from 85 to 105. And Steve Sarkisian, I think, gave a very good answer today about how that impacts everything, is that there's still only so much money you can draw from. Sure, it's great now that SEC schools can have 20 more scholarships, but then where's the money coming from to pay those players who are on the scholarships? And if you want an 87th player, an 88th player, a guy who's going to be a depth piece, how much can you give him? And are you giving him money that would come at the cost of potentially paying a higher end offensive lineman in LSU's case, if you need that, or a position player at another school? So, you know, playing this balance is going to be very difficult for coaches, I think, over the next, especially now that there's only 2 weeks that they have to do this. And then also, too, you know, for a player, you can say, hey, look, I want to see what I'm worth on the open market, because as we've seen, even before the portal is opened and players who are now staying at their schools, it's now not, I am not entering the portal and I'm staying at school XYZ for my junior or senior year. It is the player has re-signed with the school for 2026. I think that is still language for me. I've been operating in this business for a long time. I'm still having to wrap my head around the use of the word re-signed when it comes to college football players.
So with these are more than nuances. These are substantial changes in the mentality and the approach towards the transfer portal because of the lack of legislation, like you pointed out earlier. How does that bode for Lane Kiffin, who is expected, you know, he's the portal king. He's got that reputation from building programs year in and year out at Ole Miss, primarily through the transfer portal. He comes to LSU. He does not have 2, 3, even 4 years to build a program. He's got to make a transition right away, and yet he's faced with all these nuances. Can he and his staff already have their roster but pretty much carved out, know who they want, where they want to go, and start to wrap this up in the first couple of days of the transfer portal? Or is this going to likely draw out through January and into February for LSU?
I think it has to be a drawn out process for LSU because, I mean, I think Lane Kiffin has been the absolute one of the best, if not the best coach when it comes to adapting to the new world of college football and what they were able to do with the support of the collective they had at Ole Miss to get the transfers that they had to power that team into the college football playoff. But, you know, it is a huge task, especially when you have an offensive staff that is still currently coaching at Ole Miss and preparing for a playoff game, to identify every single player on your roster and know that this is what we need to do right away. Obviously, you have your priorities. You want to keep your top recruits, your high school recruits. You want to keep that recruiting class intact. You know where you want to go in the portal. But I do think it is going to be the drawn-out process where, you know, Trinidad Chambliss said today, you know, he has not talked to Lane, and he doesn't think it's even allowed at this point. But for a guy like him where he's going to be waiting on a sixth year, and going back to the lack of rules for the NCAA, I'm not going to be surprised if and when he gets that sixth year of eligibility, because if Diego Pavi can get it for being JUCO, I'm not necessarily sure there's not going to be the loophole there from going from Division II to Division I to get the same treatment for Chambliss. So then Chambliss is going to have a decision of, do I follow Lane Kiffin to LSU and can be that bridge quarterback for the Tigers in 2026, or do I stick it around in Oxford? And then if Chambliss gets the extra year and he sticks around in Oxford, then Austin Simmons has a decision to make. It just feels there's going to be a lot of dominoes here, and I just don't necessarily know how soon that Chambliss' situation is going to be resolved.
Well, since we're talking about Chambliss and we're talking about the LSU quarterback situation, right now LSU, as we speak, has one scholarship quarterback on its roster, and that, of course, is Michael Van Buren, who started the last five games of the year, including the bowl game, but he didn't really do anything to distinguish himself as a potential starter. Now, he has had conversations with Kiffin and his staff, supposedly. But is it realistic for LSU to be able to go into this portal and bring in two or three different quarterbacks?
I think so, because, you know, you look at Lane Kiffin did the same thing at Ole Miss. You know, we look at the name is escaping me at the moment, but everybody's going to know who I'm talking about. He started at Oklahoma State for two or three years, signed for his final season of eligibility at Ole Miss, and spent it as a backup. Lane Kiffin has signed multiple quarterbacks in the portal, and I think he has to, because can you view Van Buren as your floor guy and say, look, we want to keep you on the roster, we want to keep you around, but we're also going to look for other options? And for a guy like Van Buren, is that an appealing option to say that, you know, maybe I'm going to end up being the second or third guy on the roster when it all is said and done? So, yes, I do totally expect LSU to add multiple quarterbacks. It's just a matter of, do we have a clear-cut number one choice, or are we going to try to bring in guys of similar talent levels and have an actual legitimate competition going into the 2026 season?
Hey, Nick. Thank you for that. We're going to keep Nick through the break here, and we'll have more transfer portal discussion when we come back inside the Super Chevy Dealer Studio. Stay with us.